sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
When I was young, I used to want to be a dealer, see? Because the golden cars, they appealed to me. I saw brothers getting rich slanging crack to folks, and the squares getting big for these sacks of dope. Started thinking about a plan to get paid myself, so I raised myself. Raised myself. Till the dealer on the block told me, that ain't cool. You ain't meant to slang crack. You a rapper, fool. You hear what I just said? I said, till the dealer on the block told me, that ain't cool. You ain't meant to sell crack. You a rapper, fool. I mean, I said to the dealers on the block told me that ain't cool. You ain't meant to sell crap. You are rapper fool. There we go. Okay, I fucked that up. All right, you know what? One margarita, I'ma put it. Okay. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka B Dot Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. That last Le Grand Papa B is because I'm trying to figure out a way to say, I really just need to start probably speaking more French on this podcast, but fuck it. Here we are. Back to the usual shenanigans. Before I continue with this today's show, I want to remind you, returning listeners, that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Yo, this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May. It's May, right? Not March? Yeah, May. Yeah, the fifth month of the year. May 28, 2023. On a Sunday, 6:50 p.m. And it's kind of warm out there. What's the temperature? Temperature's still rising. And we are at 30 degrees Celsius. But it's warm in here because I got the windows closed. But that's some of the story. What else? This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Okay, let me go through the rundown sheet, then I'll tell you why I was laughing, chuckling earlier on. Real quick, title of the last episode was called Knife and Fork, and it was a reference to a line by Shabba Ranks on his track Ting a Ling a Ling, School Bell a Ring. Knife and fork, a fight for dumpling. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what that meant. I speculated. I thought maybe it's like because you're eating dumpling, and at first I forgot that he said knife and fork, not knife and spoon, and it's like competing to the whatever. I'm getting distracted, and then I asked my barber about it. And he happens to be Jamaican, and it's interesting is it's not the fact that he's Jamaican, but it's funny how he gave me one response and someone else gave him a response, and okay. His response was he thought it had deeper meaning like I thought. I thought it was in an expression, probably a familiar expression among Jamaican. And he went with, I think maybe it's a metaphor for fighting for the same thing, you know, which I kind of like. And then the other dude, another barber, he's also Jamaican. He cut and said, nah, I think when he heard the song, because he starts with ting-a-ling-a-ling, school bell a ring, knife and fork, a fight for dumpling. It was just another way of saying I'm eating dumpling. With my knife and fork, I'm eating dumpling. But doesn't matter. I'm all about speculation. All this to say that I'm not sure what knife and fork, what he means by that line. I just know it sounded cool. And it's one of those lines that I didn't never knew what it was, what it meant, what he was saying until I read the lyrics, and it sounded cool. Knife and fork, a fight for dumpling, whatever. Hey, whatever. All right. What else I got for my intro? Happy 48th birthday to legendary Andre 3000. If you don't know, there's like a very, very like strong hip hop influence on this podcast, and so I have to acknowledge the greats like Andre 3000. I still remember when he and Big Boy from Outkast, well, basically the Outkast, were the new kids on the block, and they were just making a name for themselves. And I know for my circle of friends, I'm not going to speak for all Canadians, but I know in my circle of friends, I should give credit to my younger brother, because he was actually more into him than I was, but he made an impact. I'm told that New Yorkers weren't really big on accepting him, but whatever. The point is, happy birthday, Andre 3000. Thanks for your continued contribution to hip-hop. His birthday was on May 27, 1975. Oh, wow! Born same year as me. Yesterday. I'll be damned. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm trying to be mindful of the time here. Okay. All right, I'm going to read it this time, not the AI, a quote about, I got from the Reddit /HSP, highly sensitive person, subreddit, and I'm trying to cut out my ums. If you hear me stop talking, it's causing me distress, but at some point I'm going to be comfortable replacing my ums with nothing. All right, so I found a post on that subreddit that I feel the need to share about being sensitive, and I was just able to relate. I guess I should probably add, there's going to be a lot of references to HSP on this episode. I mean, I don't know if I do it frequently on the past episode, but I know there's going to be a lot of like references to being highly sensitive, being a highly sensitive person. But here we go. So this is the quote that written by someone named CCB. Wordable? Wordbless? Wordbless. Whatever. Okay, it goes. My entire life I was told I was too sensitive and that it was something I should work on. People would say it as if there were something wrong with me, and for a really long time I believed them. I began apologizing every time my eyes would water. I began pretending that I wasn't touched by certain things or moments when I really was. I tried to work on, in quotation, my sensitivity, tone it down, change it, but no matter what I tried, nothing ever worked. Why? Because being sensitive was just who I was. Amen. This is just who I am, and over time, I came to realize that there was never anything wrong with me to begin with. There is absolutely nothing wrong with having a heart that works. CCB. Powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. I just related to that, connected to it, And if you know what I'm talking about, you should be able to, you probably connect to it like I did as well. I'm not going to add to it just to say that I felt those words. With that said, what's interesting is this morning, I'm going to wrap up my intro, but this morning I went, not morning, this early afternoon. See, today was supposed to be a productive day. I wanted to record in the morning because I knew it would be a bit cooler to record in, but instead, you know, I got high and overslept. But that's not the point of the story. Today I went to, because this week is going to be very warm, I decided to buy some shorts, right? Some shorts, some clothing, shorts that I could wear in the office and not look too thuggish. Like I have one pair of shorts, but they're like camouflage shorts. And, you know, part of working with white people is trying not to scare them. So whatever. Anyway, went to this Big and Tall store. Now, I fucking hate, like, okay, I live in Ottawa and there's only one that I know of so far. One store. I'm not even going to give them their name because they could go fuck themselves. But there's only one store that has there's only one Big and Tall store. And I fucking hate going there. Hey, capital H. Okay, first you have the basic that, you know, it's bad enough that I have to find this one specialized store that'll find clothes for a fat motherfucker like me. Right? So I guess I'm one of those fat people who haven't made peace with the fact that they're fat. Why don't you just go to diet? Fuck you. Anyway, yeah. So that's problem number one, right? I don't get to shop at the regular stores everyone else gets to go to. No, I gotta go to a specialized store. Two, fuck. It's compromise after. It's basically you rarely find what you want, but you end up like compromising. Now I did. Oh my god, I'm realizing why I'm sharing you the story. Okay, I'm going overtime, right? The whole point to the story where I'm going with all this, right? Well, is to establish that I hate shopping there, but. What made the experience a bit more funner is I went with a friend of mine who just happened to like shopping. Actually, she don't like shopping herself, but she likes shopping, but I guess I hate shopping for clothes, trying it on and shit like that. But it helped going with someone who enjoyed the experience, right? Like she was able to saw a side of her that I never seen before. She was able to boom. Oh, this is on special. I'm like, yeah, usually it doesn't fit. Oh, wow, it fits. Whatever, right? So she was able to find shit that I would have never found by myself. So that was fun. Now, again, that was the little, what is it? I'm in a shitty situation, and that made that bad situation alleviated the situation. You know when you surround yourself who are passionate people who are just enjoying and like their pleasure becomes your pleasure, whatever. And so I was having that kind of moment. Then I noticed some clothes that was like very close to the cash register, right? And like more shorts, Tomkin Bahamas, right? Shorts that I might like. And I started looking at them. And this white man who was at the cash register looks at me and says, "Hey, buddy." Okay, now, you know, he didn't talk like that, but this is, in my head, that's how he sounded. Like, okay, nigger, the line starts back there. He points at the back, you know, the back of the line. And and I'm like, nah, I'm just looking at the clothes. I remember, like, being, because I'm in, oh, stranger, danger. And I'm in that mode. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm just looking at the clothes back there, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, Mr. White Man, didn't mean to take up your space and shit like that. And then that moment just fucked up the whole vibe. You know, bitch don't kill my vibe, like Kendrick says. Yeah, that bitch killed my vibe. Now, some of you might say, well, you allowed him to kill your vibe. But here's what I'm getting at is, I remember just feeling pissed and feeling like, I don't feel like buying shit anymore. Because it just reminded me how much I hated being in that store in the first fucking place. Don't get me started on the sales staff. That's another story. Anyway, yeah. So luckily, my friend who was who heard and she can relate to the situation. I'm like, yo, that white boy just killed the vibe. So yeah, you know, get him. Where I'm going with this is, I was having a good moment until that little situation, that little thing happened, right? And I remember being pissed off and trying to let go of the situation. And then it reminded me of that, oh, fuck. Because you're a sensitive person, this shit's going to, like, fuck with you for a while. Like, it's going to be a while before you can let that shit go. And I was trying to let it go. You know what gets me the most about the situation? It's less what he did. It's more how I reacted. That's what makes it work. This is what happens in my brain. The little thing happened. I know for some of you, okay, if you, this is one of those things that the majority of human beings won't know what the fuck I'm talking about. They'll just say, well, just get over it, man. I don't believe we're having a long conversation about a little inconvenience, whatever, right? But it doesn't matter, right? Shit pissed me off. I'm pissed off. And what I'm getting at is what pissed me off the most is not having an adequate comeback to this asshole, you know? Because I was like, I got a sense that, yo, am I making you feel uncomfortable? You think I'm going to rob this place? Of course I know where the fucking line is. I'm shopping, asshole, and whatever. But okay, what gets me the most, what pisses me off the most is being in a situation where I didn't have a comeback for it. So I'm spending the whole afternoon mumbling to myself, fuck, I should have said this, should have said that, should have said that. Because that's what the part that fucks me up the most is how never having a clever comeback in that moment. Like all the clever, yeah, I feel like George going, yeah, the jerk store called. Yeah, I had that kind of moment. I was pissed off until I finally, this is where I'm going. This whole point of the story is not to talk about how I'm sensitive. It's more to talk about, I finally got over it when I found this clip. And the title of the caption goes, Karen, because it always has to be a Karen. Karen calls out Chef for bringing up black man after saying Kobe. Now, I'm going to play the clip. I don't know if it'll make sense, but basically think of yourself being at a Japanese village type of restaurant, you know, where the chef is like cooking your food and juggling like spatulas and shit like that and doing amazing things and just being a good entertainer, right? So, and I'm just going to play, you can't see it, but links in the show note, I'm going to play it. And when that white woman speaks up, that's when I saw this clip and I felt better. Because I'm like, wow. That bitch pissed me off. Here we go.
This lady made our dinner awkward.
Let's go. I'm from Mongolia.
He's from Mongolia.
Watch this, my brother.
Oh. Okay.
Kobe.
Kobe.
One time for Black Mamba, man.
That was his nickname.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, leave him alone.
No. When you make a shot, you say Kobe, because that's Kobe.
Yeah, that's how.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said one time for Black Mamba, R.I.P. Like getting it? Y'all getting it?
I get it. I got it the first time.
It's not salt or anything. You know what I mean?
I guess this goes out to all you motherfuckers who are going out there and fucking up people's vibes. I didn't realize where I was going to go with this. I thought it was just to be a reflection on, yes, I know I'm being sensitive. Nah, I'm just going to say, all you motherfuckers out there, fucking up people's vibe. In this particular case, this Karen, she heard the chef. Because he made a cool trick. And then he points to this guy, says, Kobe. Acknowledges Kobe Bryant. And that used to be, whatever. I should have to explain this to you, right? Says Kobe. And he says something like RIP or shout out to the Black Mamba. And this white chick, in all her whiteness, comes out and says, well, you got to make it about blackness. Well, you got to bring the white man into this. And whatever, because, you know, because some white people are still touching about, talking about what? Fuck, man, I'm speaking a lot. Okay, hold on a second. I just noticed the time. This is the longest intro. I didn't intend to go this long on the intro, but okay, look, I'm a professional. I'll improvise. All right, so she's pissed off that he made reference to, he said the Black Mamba. She didn't know what it was about, and then they straightened it out, but yeah. So all this to say, this long-ass intro is just to say, middle finger to all you people out there fucking up people's vibes. And if you want to be down with them, then fuck you too. All right. Okay, so let's get on to the next segment of the show, which is news and random thoughts. All right, here we go. Woo! Yeah, man, it's the longest intro that I've done, but, you know, again, I'm a professional. I'll adjust. Okay. First item on the rundown sheet, I'm not going to play this clip. I'm just going to make it available for you in the show notes, and the title goes, A Man Gives CPR to a Dog and Saves the Animal's Life, Harold. Now, the reason why I'm sharing you this clip is because I'm going to play the game of Guess the Race. If you said white, you were wrong. It's actually a black dude. A fucking black dude saving a dog. Now, don't get me wrong. Black people, we are all human beings. We're not a monolith. My point is, I grew up with this idea that black people are supposed to hate dogs. We're not animal lovers. The only people who give a fuck about animals is white people. You know what? The only point I'm sharing this clip, honestly, is just to give you, give you another example of black people just doing normal shit. All right? Which brings me to my next item on the rundown sheet, which is I saw Wanda Sykes' latest special, and bravo. Hold on a second. And this is what I gotta say for Wanda Sykes' latest special. Bravo. Bravo, 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 bravo. She did it again, man. Yo, that lady's funny, man. I love her comedy. And the other reason I bring this up is because, her special is called I'm an Entertainer. And not just funny, but my favorite brand of comedy is the kind that makes you laugh and makes you think and says smart shit. Then shout out to her, right? And the other reason I bring this up is, I'm not sure she addressed it in this special, but there was one of her clips, she talked about how you rarely get to see black people doing normal shit. Society has us in one, like, rather drug dealers, got baby mom. You know what I mean? Like, basically, look at your rap videos and, yeah, anyway, whatever. Now, I was going to try to keep it positive and not mention the fact that I just finished watching Shazam and Shazam, the sequel to Shazam, and that shit was awful, man. Like, a lot of people were criticizing it, and because I'm the type who likes to get... Okay, I'll tell you what. Shazam, the only thing good they had going for it was, in my opinion, is the special effects. And the acting by the two older ladies. Hold on, what's the name of those actresses? Like, the only... I just liked the... wow. Cast. Okay. The acting by... Yeah, those... these motherfuckers were annoying. So, aside from the special effect and the casting of... What's her name? Old lady. I mean, Megan Good? She could have played a better role. Megan Good was in there. That younger girl is there. Oh, there we go. Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren. Okay. Aside from the casting of those two, yo, this fucking movie sucked. Fuck. When I say suck, it just made me angry. Fucking angry. Okay. Now, B, focus on the positive. I told myself I was going to focus on the positive. Okay. Shazam, because I just finished watching. I remember watching it, and then it just reminded me of how I let that white boy fuck up my vibe. All right. So, again, Wanda Sykes' comedy special, I'm an Entertainer, dope. End period, stop. All right. On the last episode, which was published on... it's not that I forgot, but which was published on... we're Sunday, right? So it was published on the 25th, correct. May 25th. Now, I recorded it on May 24th, but meant to... I don't want to say I forgot. Yeah, I forgot, right? But meant to acknowledge the death anniversary of George Floyd, right? A lot has changed since his death. You know, I read his book. Did I mention I read his book? This is not me trying to show off or whatever, right? Yeah, so May 25th is the death anniversary of George Floyd. And I'm acknowledging it now. I'm not going to share any long thoughts about it, but... you know what? I'm going to recommend that if you recommend reading his book, mainly because it just presents the humanity of George Floyd. He was just a human being. It's not meant to like tearjerker, or if you're a white person, to make you feel shitty about being white. That's not the point. It's just meant to remind, like, as I speak about May 25th, this brother, man, had the intention to change the world. I guess, well, his death did. But I won't go into it. But my point is, I recommend reading the book. His name was George Floyd. His name was, is that what it was called? Yeah, his name was George Floyd. Anyway, but that's, May 25th. Another thing is I want to talk about is that came on in my timeline around the same time of George Floyd's death is I'm trying to remember his name. Okay, and I'm waiting for it to load. Yes, Christian Cooper. Who's Christian Cooper? Now, before I bring up Christian Cooper, I'm gonna say I was in I tend to go on a walk around my neighborhood every morning on a daily basis. Because like I mentioned, I'm a fat motherfucker who needs to lose weight. But that's another story. All right. And do I talk mean to myself? I do, eh? I do. I thought I only do it in my head, but I'm realizing that I'm revealing that. Yeah. If you were able to look at me, the relationship I have with myself, it's an abusive relationship. Like, you'd be calling the cops and saying, yeah, some domestic abuse going on in here. But verbally. But that's, I'm working on it, man. I'm working. All right. So, I was going for a walk, but it's funny to say fat motherfucker. Anyway, going for a walk, and I noticed this woman with her dog, this older woman, shorter than me, and I can't explain it, but I knew she was staring at the birds, she was staring at trees, and then I realized I figured she was looking at birds because I noticed that I could hear them, and there was birds that I hadn't seen before, like colors that I wasn't, I'm not a bird watcher, right? But it was just, there was something about that day. But the thing about it is there was like a, I don't know if I would've used the word bliss, but that woman was in a moment. She was enjoying, I could see her like looking up and say, oh, this bird here, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And as I'm walking, I noticed this one blue bird. And I didn't know what kind of bird it was, but I knew it wasn't a common bird. I said, hey, and I pointed to her and I said, hey, there's one there. And she noticed it. And she was like, I can't remember what she said, but it was like, I think she said there's a red woody woodpecker. I don't know, whatever. I can't forget the name. I can't remember the name, but she just said there's another bird right there. The whole point to the story is, and then she walked. I love that little moment of humanity that happened between me and this woman. She was in joy. She was just in joy. Like, I never would have imagined someone could take pleasure just from watching birds. I guess it'd be like, you know, like, I guess it's the equivalent to me watching porn. Is that what it is? I'm from the streets. I don't know. Okay. All this to say, I loved that moment between two human beings who didn't know each other. Because I could see she was happy. So I said, hey, there's another bird. And she was happy to see it. And then she told me to see another bird. And the dog is like, well, fuck, when can we go home? And then we went our separate ways. But I remember feeling like, it's like I absorbed her, the joy she was feeling. I don't know. I guess I felt happy. It was weird. I had a moment where I was happy for a human being that I didn't know. And this human being was just taking pleasures watching bird. And then that made me think of Christian Cooper. Christian Cooper is the brother who was I'm getting funny. Is the brother who was minding his own business in a park watching birds because he's a bird watcher, right? Right. A black guy. Oh, and he's black, right? A black guy who watches bird. I remember hearing this story and going, what? We watch birds? What are you gonna tell me next? We save dogs? You know what I mean? Anyway, yeah. So, but that's not the point of the story. I'll just read, Fred Fanon wrote this? No, he didn't. Sorry. I'm reading off a tweet, and the author's name is Fred Fanon. I'm like, wait a minute. He's alive? Okay. All right. So the caption goes, remember Christian Cooper? Central Park Karen tried to tell 911 he was threatening her when all he was doing was bird watching. Karen lost her job, and Christian got a new job. He'll be the host of a National Geographic new show, Extraordinary, ordinary birdie, extraordinaire, right? Only point I'm making, I'm glad I saw this, because I was thinking of Christian Cooper, and I remember the first time hearing about his story as he's dealing for racism, being shocked at, what, black people watching birds. But then I'm looking at that woman, I'm like, I guess he must have felt that same pleasure. He was just, brother was just minding his own business, and then this white chick comes up. Apparently her dog was unleashed, and he was like, hey, I don't know how that conference, whatever. The dog was unleashed, and he told her, hey, that dog should be leashed, right? And he was, I mean, and part of him doing that is because, bitch, your dog is scaring the fucking birds. I'm trying to enjoy this fucking moment of nature that us black people don't usually do. Anyway, whatever. So this white chick, I don't know if you're familiar with the story. Oh, they don't mention her name, but I know her last name is Cooper. And this white chick was like, took offense to this black man, A, making eye contact to a white woman and telling him and telling her to leash her dogs. Like, well, it's not that kind of, I know Obama used to be president, nigger, but it's not going to be that kind of, anyway, long story short, he starts recording her because he got crazy vibe because his spidey black senses were tingling. It's like, let me record this interaction. Yeah, because I would have done the same. You know, well, a white woman getting upset around you, start recording. Because you don't want to be, and whatever. So this white chick calls 911, and I remember seeing this story, and it starts playing that, yeah, this African-American, he's getting close. She knew that's the kind of shit that scares black people. Luckily, Christian Cooper kept recording. He says, as long as I kept recording, but she knew that's our kryptonite. Yes, this African-American is scaring me. Oh, shit. I would have ran. I would have said, oh, whoa, okay. You know what? Fuck these birds. All right? Here, you can have my binoculars. Anyway, my point is this. I'm going to wrap this up with one point. Is one, I remember that moment is of thinking of Christian Cooper and how, you know, we can't run from racism. And two, the lady who called her up, I found out she's Canadian, and she lost her job. Now, I don't think it's a big deal she lost her job, because people like her will always buy. There's going to be a white person. Actually, it might be a black person. There's going to be someone who's going to be sympathetic to her cause. It's not your fault that you came across the wrong nigga. You know, like, someone's going to be sympathetic to her cause and help her out. Look, man. White people getting fired over racism is fucking nothing. But what kills me is the possibility that one day I may have the unfortunate of crossing path with this lady and treating her like a decent human being. And not for the scum that she deserves. All right, okay. The focus of the story was just more to say that I was thinking of Christian Cooper and that entire craziness of the story after I crossed path with this white woman. I mean, she wasn't white. Doesn't matter. What was she? Doesn't matter. But I mean, this older lady who was just enjoying herself watching birds. All right. So good for you, Christian Cooper. Good for you. All right. Next piece. Now, this is a TikTok clip that I saw part of it, but I wanted to hear it. But I labeled it as the other guy who read Bell Hooks. I read I read one book by Bell Hooks, and it's called, was it Introduction to Feminism? Hold on. Let me just get the title right. Bell Hooks, Feminism. You know, it's funny. What's interesting is it's white man who put me onto Bell Hooks. Ain't that a bit? I told him not to tell anyone because I could lose my black people license. But yeah. I mean, I knew the name Bell Hooks, but he's the one who was like, yeah, the name of a book you want to try is called, what's it called? Introduction to Feminism. Something introduction, whatever. Okay, that's not the point. What's more important is this clip that I'm about to play about how Bell Hooks has inspired people like me, I guess. And by people like me, I mean hetero males. Hetero cis males. So here we go.
This man changed the lives of hundreds of prisoners.
We make them think it's okay to do that when we do shit like, oh, well, what would, if a girl gets raped, we'll say things like, well, what was she wearing? And putting it all on her.
Richie Reseda read Bell Hooks while serving a 10-year sentence in prison. Bell Hooks was a renowned feminist writer and activist. He said in reading her books, his perspective and life changed, and that feminism freed him, and he wanted to free others. So he started Success Stories, an education program for people in prison. This program dismantles the patriarchy and incarceration by facilitating intersectional feminist workshops in prisons that help incarcerated men overcome harmful gender behaviors and be their highest selves.
Can you imagine?
Well, I don't need to imagine, Emma, because he is doing that.
Richie really helped me step out of my comfort zone too. Man, you really opened my eyes to some powerful things in my life. And even when all of us went against you when it came to that patriarchal conversation, you remained firm in that. And I admire your courage.
600 men have graduated through his program. Oh, and wow. A lot of the men who do graduate through his program become facilitators themselves, go back into prison and help to break down the patriarchy for other men, so that they too can be freed by the words and the lessons of Bell Hooks and other feminists. Richie is smashing it.
All those incarcerated men that are sat there listening, just a little inkling to learn more. That is all it takes.
So positive masculinity, guys. It means being yourself.
That's beautiful, man. Positive masculinity means being yourself, which ties to the whole theme of this podcast. But I'll get to that in final thoughts. But what I wanted to say, I fucking love this clip. I forgot the name of the brother's name, but there's a part in clip where she says feminism freed him. And I can relate to that. Feminism freed me too, because I grew up, there was an anger with me as a teenager, and I thought it was just because of racism. But no, I mean, there was layer upon layers, with the fact that I'm a highly sensitive person, in denial about being a highly sensitive person. Now that shit will create rage in you that you have. I mean, where is that coming from? But another reason why I was so angry is because I couldn't live up to society. I don't know if I want to blame society. Fuck it, I'll blame society. Society, or my understanding of what it means to be a man. I couldn't live up to the definition of a quote-unquote real man. That shit pissed me off. And part of it was being a real man was getting women to do what you wanted them to do. So I was angry at women not realizing that the reason I'm upset at them is because you can't do to them what, how do I say this? Not meant to do? You can't do to them what you don't want to do, actually. I'm not a pimp. I'm not a player. I'm not that type. I can't be in a monogamous relationship. Okay, that's not the point. My point is, feminism freed me because it made me realize that, yo, that definition of masculinity that you were fed to you is bullshit. Or you don't have to live up to it. It's let them deal with it. But you can be your real self. Like it pulled me out of the matrix and made me realize that feminism is the reason why I refer to toxic masculinity, or being a quote unquote real man, as the cult of masculinity, because it's a fucking cult. Men get defensive about that shit, about masculinity, like a fucking cult. And they'll die for that cult. And I'm like an ex-member who still remembers the days of being, like, I know, like, I can hear a toxic male speak, and I can hear him going, and I'm like, damn, yeah, I remember when I was like that too. I remember when I saw the world like you did too. Anyways, all this to say, just to agree with the notion that, yes, feminism did free me too, and for that, to that, I'm grateful. All right, okay, what else do I have? Okay, I'm going to play this Dealing with the Inner Critic. This is a clip by, I think she's a psychiatrist, but just some advice on how to deal with your inner, about dealing with your inner critic. All right, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You know what's funny is I could tell you myself, but instead I'm going to play this 15-second clip, so here we go.
Research has shown that when you name your inner critic, that part of you that criticizes and demeans you, even when there's no justifiable reason, it makes it less powerful. So what would you name your inner critic?
I've decided I'm calling my inner critic, well, right now I'm workshopping names, but I'm starting with that nagging bitch. That nagging bitch. That or Massa. I don't know. but nagging, yeah. So that's today's tip for today. Name your inner critic. Here we go. All right. This is a quick one. It goes, I wrote, Reagan sucks. Why Reagan sucks? And it's just a post that I found on, again, on Reddit, the subreddit Resist, R-E-Zist. That's kind of weird. Anyway, Reaganomics destroyed America. And the caption goes, the tweet from USA Singers goes, America used to be a place where one person with a high school education could buy a home, buy a new car, raise a family, take them on vacation every year, send the kids to college with no loans, and retire comfortably at age 65. Then Ronald Reagan came along and destroyed it all. Now, again, some of you Canadians are probably going, what the fuck are you talking about Reagan? You're talking when you believe in, when you live in Canada. It's just more the idea. I remember, I don't know, a lot of people made a shitload of money around Reagan, and they're praising him. And, yeah, you know what? Yeah, okay, I'm not going to go extend it. The whole point to me reading that is just to be able to say, fuck Reagan. I don't know if you've seen the movie, like that scene in Boys in the Hood. Yeah, Boys in the Hood. And there's a scene where this young character is giving a middle finger to Ronald Reagan. At the time, I didn't get it, but now, fuck, I want to co-sign that middle finger to Reagan. Now, I'm going to skip this one, and it's just, look, I don't need to go I'll just leave the articles in the show notes for you to read yourself, but it pretty much goes, Twitter sucks. It's just another reason why Twitter sucks. And the first headline goes, client scientists flee Twitter as hostility surges, right? And second article reads, and it's from the Atlanta. Okay, maybe I should write. So the first one was from Yahoo News, and the second one was, Twitter is a far right social media, and that's on the Atlantic. There's a thought piece written by Charlie Rizzle, and look, Twitter's going down. They couldn't get 4chan to reach the level of Twitter. So this asshole Elon Musk buys it and turns it into. I'm not enjoying my time on Twitter. The reason why, by AKAs at the beginning of the podcast, where I say B Black, AKA B Blizzak, it's just my way of referencing my usernames on social media. So B Black is my regular name, is my street name. B Blizzak is my username on Twitter. B Dot Black is on TikTok. And Mr. Shut Up Podcast, just to remember, remind you of my website. Kampababi is just another way of me saying, hey, je parle français. All right, okay. So I'm not going to read the whole ass article because, links in the show notes, all right? Last one, and this has been to uplift the mood of bitches a bit, because this one, basically, I'm giving a shout out to this content creator for making me laugh. And here it goes. And the caption goes, empirical proof they're lying to us. Are you ready for that? Put on your conspiracy theory hats on. And empirical truth, they're lying to us. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Gabby. And what I'm about to tell you is very, very real.
Go, Gabby. Go, Gabby.
These scientists in government are lying to you.
What?
And I have done an independent study to prove this.
Break it down.
I am not a conspiracy theorist, and I am not a nut job. I am just somebody who believes that the American people deserve to know the truth.
Tell them.
The Mayo Clinic is stating that it takes about 6 to 8 hours for food to pass through your stomach and small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about 36 hours for food to move through the entire colon.
Right.
I am not kidding. This is the lie that we are being sold. At 11:02 a.m. this morning, I ate a Chipotle burrito.
Right.
In that burrito contained corn.
Corn.
I have not had corn for at least 2 weeks. By 11:19 a.m., I was sitting on the toilet and praying to not one, not two, but three gods to have mercy on my asshole. That's right. 36 hours is a fucking joke. It took Chipotle only 17 minutes to pass through my digestive system. Stop letting the government lie to you.
Message.
Shout out to the modern mental mom for that clip. Wait, this is serious, man. First Pluto, now this shit. All right, okay. All right, okay. All right, now this concludes this episode's news and random thoughts. So let me just jump to final thoughts, and you get to get the fuck out of here, all right? So here we go. Word. Okay, all right. Now, I am, first things first, before we get to what's up with the title, it's all going to build up, it's all going to make sense. I'm drawing a picture here, right? I'm going to read another post that I found on Reddit/r/HSP subreddit, and it goes, why? Because I could connect to it, and the title goes, I hate being a highly sensitive man so much it's unreal. And when I say I'm going to read it, fuck that. I'm going to let my little AI bot do it for me. Here we go, because I, it doesn't matter. You know what? Maybe I should get a man to do this. Hold on a second. Davis, all right? So here we go. Take it away, Davis.
I hate being a highly sensitive man so much it's unreal.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
I've known for a while that I'm an HSP, but I've only recently began to reflect further on the fact. And I've realized how much I hate it. Sorry, Elaine, can't do the whole self-acceptance thing right now.
Right.
If you were to extract my emotional profile and put it into another person who isn't as completely shut down and bottled up as I am, I would have a hard time keeping myself from beating the shit out of that pathetic, simpering fucking blob.
Whoa.
I hate how frequently I get sucked 1,000 miles deep into my inner world at any random little thing.
Yep.
Whether it's to escape stress or explore some stupid premise or simulate an hours-long conversation I'll never have or whatever other silly shit is on my mind at any given moment. I hate having to fight the raging storm that wells up inside me at random little slights and inconveniences, yep. Although thankfully this is pretty inconsistent and I remain fairly mellow more often than not. I definitely have a lot of work I should do, though. Yep. I hate how good I became at a young age at bottling absolutely everything up to avoid making my hectic household even more chaotic by speaking up about anything, and how much of an utterly stunted, broken doormat I've become as a result. I hate the seemingly endless laundry list of things that would be totally innocuous for a normal person to handle but are able to derail me for at least a day if I don't plan for them carefully. But from the bottom of my heart, the thing I hate most is trying to love.
Oh, wow.
I hate how deeply I adore women. I hate how I can get so moved and stirred up like a fucking gormless drooling baby in front of a jingling pair of keys just by how a woman looks. I wince at opening Snapchat because some of the girls that appear on the Discover page bring me close to tears. I hate how ridiculously overwhelming everything becomes as soon as there's a whiff of mutual attraction between me and a girl. I hate scraping myself against the ground like Sisyphus to hold back a waterfall of emotion and keep it from crushing the poor girl to death.
Yep.
I hate having to exercise the discipline of a monk to reduce my displays and pursuit of affection to an acceptable trickle to keep from spooking her away. I fucking hate how quickly I give my whole heart away and let myself get swept up in romance, and I especially hate the way I've learned to shut down and zone out when I can no longer handle all this emotional stimulation, turning into a blind, unfeeling robot of a huh-s and whoa-that's-crazy-s who's unable to register red flags until it's too late to break things off without incredible mutual pain. I hate that my love languages, kind words, and touch have been thoroughly co-opted by spineless chodes looking for a quick fuck. Hell, now that I think of it, I realize I'm not really distinguishable from, or more valuable than, those chodes if you're not able to directly plug into my mind and feel this hellish hurricane in my heart for yourself. I hate that a cumulative half pound of psilocybin, perfectly balanced hormones thanks to TRT, successfully working through childhood trauma, regular exercise, and a fairly recent near-death experience have all totally failed to make me any less of a hopeless, pathetic, stupid fucking love addict. I hate not being able to talk to other guys about this, yep. And to be honest, it's starting to really make me hate them as a group.
As a group.
Try as I fucking might, I cannot convey any of this to another dickhaver in a way that's not total gibberish to them. Apparently, I am violating known laws of physics by having these thoughts and emotions while also having a Y chromosome. It'd be nice to get a decent fucking penny from CERN for my trouble. At least I have Tom York to keep me sane. That's a...
There we go. Wow. Yeah, man, that's profound, man. I connected with... Oh, brother, you're not alone. Yeah. I wouldn't respond with... Actually, I did respond, but I have no solution for this guy. I just know that I know what he's going through, been there. The only part is I think I've numbed myself out of relationship. Sorry. There's a demon inside me right now. Okay. What was I? Yeah. I was what he was saying about relationship. It reminded me of a friend that I knew from France, a Parisian brother. And he was going through a breakup. And I remember him opening up about how much it bothered him. Because the girl broke up with him and it bothered him. Like, he wasn't like on that bitches ain't shit bother. He was like, I'm hurt. Like, articulating real feelings about how I'm depressed. But basically, Song Cry, a little like, but more deeper than Song Cry by Jay-Z. And I remember listening to this brother wondering, am I being punk? Like, should I be? I remember, like, on one end, the sensitive in me was like, oh, man, this brother needs healing. And the other end, the guy who, before pre-feminism, who thought I was wondering whether I should be telling him what everyone told me was, man, nigga, quit being a bitch. It's just one chick. There's bitches all over. There's plenty of bitches in the sea, man. Get over it, man. Let's go to the strip club. You know, telling them toxic shit. I remember being caught between those two. But what got me the most is hearing this brother, like, sharing actual feeling about how his heart was broken by this girl. And hearing this guy talk in this post reminded me of that moment. Yeah, for me, I have no solutions for this poor guy. All I can tell him is I remember reaching my peak limit of I hate being highly sensitive. My peak limit. And then finally ending up in therapy. Showing up in some therapy. And it was basically me trying to say, hey, I need you to take this bitch ass out of me. Last point about this post that I read, I also relate to the part where he says, I hate not being able to talk to other guys about this. And to be honest, it's starting to really make me hate them as a group. I'm there. I'm fucking there. I remember, I know, on a past episode, I talked about, like, if a war were to break out between men and women, I'd be their traitor. And I know for a fact, look, man, it's not about gender. It's there are good and there are bad people. I know for a fact that there are good and bad people. It doesn't matter what gender you are. But I am in a situation where I'm like, yeah, the average male pisses me off. And when I say the average male, I mean the average member of the cult of masculinity pisses me off. And whether you're the deceiver or whether you're the sucker, the within that cult, the fact that, like, I have a limited number. Look, I'm in a situation where I've ended up narrowing down the list of people I call actual friends, and people I call friends are the people who understand I can have these kind of conversations. These deep conversations with, right? I used to think I should be able to do that with everyone, but nah, it turns out, nah, only the average, like, if you're not an HSP, if you're not a highly sensitive person, people like us just get on your nerves. You're just take up space that you wish didn't take. Unless you need, you're in a situation where you need their skills, talent, and natural ability. That's the only time. Any time after that, it's like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. Quit being a little bitch. And whatever. All right. What else did I have in the show notes? what other point I want to. Oh, it reminded me. It reminded me of. I'm gonna send a shout out to Julie Bedlin. Is that her name? And Sydney James. Now I referenced those names before, but this is the first time I actually listened to the podcast episode between those two, and it was and its title being a highly sensitive person while black with Sydney James. Great topic. Like she was saying a lot of things that I was able to connect it, you know, connect with. And I, it's so good that I'm linking it in the show notes. I just finished listening to it. And then also, oh, getting back to what I was thinking, I'm in the middle of writing a letter to an email to, the BFF podcast, Black Fat Fam podcast. It's a podcast that I discovered not too long ago. And, but I'm struggling and figuring out what I'm trying to tell them aside from, I love your podcast. I'm grateful for your podcast. I think one of it too is because the two individuals on it, right, are male looking, but their pronouns, I mean, they have male features, male traits, excuse me, but their pronouns is they, the way they express themselves, it's like more, I'm gonna say feminine, you know, black fat femme, like they can relate to, but that's not the important part. What's important about what I love about their show is how it inspires me. There's something about their behavior that just inspires me to continue this quest to finding my more authentic self. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm trying to write. Yeah, what's complicated is because I'm listening to them and I'm like, and I'm worried that I'm not their target audience, and I kind of feel like listening to their show, even though I'm like picking up some great inspiration, some and some laughter, great entertainment, and all that shit. A part of me like feels like like the white guy stepping into black people's space. And I'm worried about saying some stupid shit like. Yeah, man, I know what racism is like. I had a bad day at work that reminded me of what you go through for racism. It's like, yeah, you know what? Get that cracker out of there. You know, I guess it's like I'm trying to write this. Okay, you know what? I'm just overthinking this fucking email. Bottom line is I'm overthinking this email, and I'm only acknowledging the fact that I'm writing this email because I'm figuring if I talk it out loud, it might be easier to figure out what I'm trying to say on paper. All right. Now, before... Oh, wow, okay, 56 minutes. Not bad, B. Okay, all right. I'm trying not to go over my hour mark. That's why I was so pissed off at my intro at the beginning, but here we go. Now, finally, the la crème de résistance. No, the piece of résistance. I forget what the word is. What's up with today's title, which I haven't figured out? It's either going to be You Ain't Meant to Sell Crack, or no, you know what? It's gonna be you a rapper, fool. And the reason I'm going, okay, that verse that you just heard that I recited at the beginning of the episode was the third verse to a rap song by Tupac called Nothing But Love. And I gotta tell you, man, Nothing But Love is up there in terms of my favorite Pac track, My Block, and Nothing But Love. And when I talk about the track, it's the verses. It's what he says, what's he communicate. And especially that line where he says, till the dealer on the block told me that ain't cool. You ain't meant to sell crack. You a rapper, fool. And I bring this up because on the last podcast, on the last episode, I talked about how there's a debate. There's a war, debate going on between me and my therapist. And I'm in there talking about acting like Bishop. You got to stand up and die for that stuff like Blizzard did if you want some juice. And she's just like, you ain't that guy. You ain't that, calm the fuck down. You ain't that guy. You're like, try to get me to be, it's amazing. Like, bottom line is, she's like the drug dealer. She's like the dealer of the block. Woo, that was loud. I'm sorry. Oh my God, that was loud. Okay. I guess if I hit this microphone at a certain angle, it just gets loud. Sorry if I busted your eardrums. Right. She's like the... I'm feeling like I'm Puck. And she's like the dealer on the block telling me, you ain't meant to sell crack, use a rapper, fool. Come to terms with who you actually are. Still figuring out on this quest to be my more authentic self. One thing I do know about myself is I talk a lot of shit. I might use violent words. I act like a tough guy, but I am not a tough guy. I am not the violent. Trust me, I am. I wish I was. I wish I was. But I'm trying to come to terms that that ain't me. Like that moment that I had at the clothing store this morning that I talked earlier on this afternoon. Sorry. And that dude was like, "Hey, nigger." He didn't use the word nigger, but he was saying, "The line's over here." Sure, I was pissed, but I was considering the fact that maybe he was just reacting to someone cutting in line before. Because my first thought was white dude uncomfortable by black person. And then I started to think, who knows? Like, there's a million possibilities to why that asshole decided to be an asshole at that moment. Or maybe he was trying to be helpful. Maybe this was his version. Like, I remember thinking all this shit while wanting to strangle the fuck out of this guy. You know what I mean? I'm going for an eternal battle trying to figure out who I am. But I do know, but I do agree, I can relate to that line that I was not meant to sell crack. Use a rapper, fool. I'm going to go. That's going to be the title for you, a rapper, fool. Yeah. I'm also thinking about, I was going to play that clip. If you've seen The Wire, because this is like the story of all those black male, young black males. I'm not saying I'm a young black male, but our journey as young black males. There's a part in The Wire, I think it's in season 4, where Bunk, one of the characters, is having a conversation with Omar, and he's trying to tell him how, yo, you know the neighborhoods we grew up in, and we grew up with some real gangsters, some real badass gangsters. And he was talking this story about how he was at a party. Bunk was, when he was young, he was at a party hanging out with these gangsters. And chilling, he wasn't supposed to be there. And one of the he said, hard knucklehead saw him and he said, "Go home, schoolboy. You don't belong here." And it's only in the future that he realized how much those brothers did him a favor. And I get it. I know that would have hurt my feelings. Saying, "No, I'm one of you." It's. There's a lot of us out there putting on a show. Putting on a tough guy act. And deep down, we're just like a little mouse and we refuse to acknowledge that, to agree with that, you know? Because the only images we have of who you're supposed to... Like, I'm talking about toxic masculinity. I think for black kids, it's worse. Like, the images were projected about what it means to be a man, it's ultra masculine. It's like, yeah, you don't give a fuck if you don't cry. You get pulled over by the cops, don't fucking cry, don't show no fear. Man, spit in the cop's face. Grab his gun. Go out like Huey P. Newton. Okay, Huey P. Newton didn't go out fighting cops. But my point is, we were all fed this image of what this is what it means to be black. This is what it means to be a man. And because you're black, you have to amp up that shit. Okay, for white man, they can get away with being a 5. Black man, you got to increase that shit to 10. And your dick better be 10 inches inside, and you better have Mandingo dick, and you better put these bitches to sleep. I mean, when you're having sex, you have the kind of stamina where you're still awake and she's falling asleep. You know what I mean? You gotta have, and by bitches, I mean in the plural form, you got to have many women. And then everyone fucks with you, you gotta be able to handle, you gotta be able to tell them that, yo, we can get on that gangster shit. We can handle this shit like gentlemen. You gotta be able to handle shit like a gentleman or to get into that gangster shit. I'm not speaking against fighting or anything like that. I'm not, you be able to defend yourself. What I'm speaking against is not being your authentic self. And that's the whole, this is where I'm going with this whole episode. Was just more a reminder of being more authentic. That's why there's been more references to being highly sensitive. I fucking hate admitting coming to, like, I'm still uncomfortable saying on this, but actually on this microphone, because I tend to be authentic. I tend to be more, keep it real. It's a habit that I've developed to say shit, but it still makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, if there was like a club for highly sensitive people, I'd walk in, but I'd make sure, like, I'd walk in like it was like a porn shop. Like, you know, it's like, make sure no one sees me wearing glasses. Like, there's still that little shame that I'm fighting off. Like, there's still that, what that first brother was explaining about how he hates being a highly sensitive male. Yeah, I'm going through that shit right now. Still not comfortable. Still dealing with it. It's still a journey for me. Who knows? Again, this podcast is all about growth. 100 episodes from now, I might be more comfortable. I may not recognize the version of me that I am at the moment. Who knows? This is me being hopeful. Or 100 episodes from now, I might still be bitching about how some dude hurt my feelings while waiting in line because he thought I didn't know where the fucking line was. Anyways, this concludes today, because that's fucking warm. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Yeah, I'm feeling good, gang, for you didn't ask, but I'm actually feeling good. I feel better now than I did before I hit record. Right, I remember not being sure where I was going to go with this episode, but here we are, all right? Shout out to Tupac, and I still middle finger to people who are going out there fucking up people's vibes. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Holler at me until you can DM me on Twitter until Elon Musk fucks it up at B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast, or on TikTok using B.Black. And by dot, I mean D-O-T. So B-D-O-T-B-L-A-C-K. Website is shutuppodcast.com, and that's where you'll find the show notes. There's a lot of links that I post. I didn't read on the episode, but, you know, I'm sharing it for your own enjoyment. Yeah, you can find it there. Find it there, all right? So shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on the website or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. Yo, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Yo, peace.